Good morning again, everyone. If you've not taken your masks off yet, you can feel free if you'd like to take your mask off during the message. I have my lovely assistant up here with me this morning. And I want to thank Rob Wisnant because he's the one that built these, I call them sneeze guards, just because I don't know if you've read much about respiratory things with this COVID, but the idea is that we project the furthest when we are singing or sneezing or something like that. So Rob built these in order to keep everybody out there safe so that Andy and I and Jeannie and Fritz wouldn't have to have our masks on during this time. But I've got my lovely assistant up here, and we're going to do one of the things that she loves to do more than anything else in the world, and that's bake. So I want to show you, first of all, just a sample of what she, just one of the many things that she likes to make. Oh, Liberty, by the way, this is your microphone. Sorry. Okay, wherever you need that to be. Because she is going to instruct me in how to bake. But before she shows me how to bake, I want to show you some of what the finished product looks like. Well, I mean, would that be fair to all the people that have to view from home today? Really? Okay. So, in order to save a little bit of time, we've already gone ahead and mixed some of our ingredients together. Liberty, what did we do exactly?
Okay, so we have in one of our bowls the sugar and the egg and butter and vanilla extract. In the other one, it's flour and baking.
Okay, so we have one bowl that's our wet ingredients and one bowl that's our dry ingredients, if that's correct, right? Okay. And so what are we going to do with these ingredients now that we have them?
Like put the wet ingredients into the dry ingredients, but we're making cookies, so we're going to put the dry ingredients into the wet ingredients.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and put the dry ingredients into the wet.
That wasn't supposed to happen. And then instead of...
Okay. So I'm going to bring my bowl back here, right? Okay. And then I'm going to do what? Okay. Am I doing this right?
Whoa. So you bring it around.
Okay. Bring it around. Back. Got it. And then
around,
up.
And then up, like you fold it.
Bring it around.
Around.
And then up.
And up. But you have to put stuff on it, so.
Oh. So I have to around. I have to get in here?
Yeah.
And bring it around.
Around.
Okay.
And then.
You know, I'm kind of bored with this. What do we do next? Okay. All right. So I'm going to mix mine then, okay? Like this? Okay. 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 You know, I think that's enough. Yeah, I think so. Okay, well you can keep going. I think mine's done. All right.
I keep going.
What do I need to do next?
I mean, you can put the chocolate chips in if you want to.
Oh, okay. Great. So I put the chocolate chips in now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. And then, so these are mine, right? Like that? Okay. Okay. So my chocolate chips are in now. Am I ready to bake? I feel like I'm ready to bake. So you mean I need to wait for you? All right. Well, I guess as you're doing it, maybe I should mix my chocolate chips in. You're really kind of slow at this. I mean, mine is ready to go.
Great. You should just keep mixing it exactly like that until I'm ready.
All right. Hey, I accidentally got some of my egg in the flour. Is that okay?
Yes, it's fine.
Okay.
I put a lot in mine, too, but I don't care about that. Oh, that's okay. A lot.
All right, cool.
Okay, so you kind of just want to, like, mush it around and get all of the chocolate chips everywhere.
So like this? Like that?
No, like this.
Right, like this. Got it. I'm pretty sure mine's ready to go.
Here, why don't you...
No, I like this one. This is fine. Is yours ready?
Yeah, mine's ready.
Okay, good. So we're going to... Yeah, we're gonna put some of it on this pan here, right? Right. I gotta get some of this egg though. Right. Oh, there we go. That is good stuff right there. That is, you know what, I think I need a little bit more. I think I need some more. Okay. I gotta figure out, okay, there, got it. Okay, you ready for yours? Okay. All right, great. So you're going to take this now, and you're going to go bake it, right?
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you're going to bring it back and show it to us. Right? Great. Thanks, Libby. Hey, can we thank Libby? I mean, she bakes for, like, the baby cakes cupcake contest, and she bakes... chocolate chip cookies at home and stuff like that, but I don't know. I don't really think she knows what she's doing. What do you guys think? Yeah, somebody definitely doesn't know what they're doing when it comes to that. But, okay, well, while she's baking those, I've got a little bit of a message for us. It comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there. Last week, we talked about Hebrews 10, 25, and we talked about last week being our first regathering Sunday. And you know, we talked a little bit about how long it's felt that we've been apart and stuff like that, and how nice it feels to be able to be back together again, and even a little bit more today. So we're praising God for those of you that are here today. We're praising God for those of you that are watching online. And we continue to thank Jeremiah and Joshi for the wonderful work that they've done in improving our live stream capabilities as well. Last week we talked about Hebrews 10:25. We talked about the idea that it says, not forsaking our meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I reminded us that what the writer was not writing about here when he said not forsaking, he was not talking about just not meeting together once in a while. The word forsaking literally means to give up entirely. So what he was saying was, do not entirely give up Christianity. Do not entirely give up going to church and fellowshipping with one another. So does that mean that being apart for a period of time is against this verse? No, but I've seen it used over and over and over as condemnation of churches that weren't quite ready to regather. So that is not what that verse means. However, we are able to regather now, and praise the Lord for that. It says encouraging one another, and then it says, and all the more as what? As we see the day drawing near. And what day is that referring to? It's the day that Jesus Christ returns. One day he's going to return. And that day is now a whole week closer than it was last time I talked to you about this. So it's a whole week closer. And we don't know when that day is going to be. We just know that it's going to happen. And it's going to happen in God's timing. In fact, Jesus even said, I don't even know when it's going to be. Only the Father in heaven knows. And so we wait anxiously for that day when Jesus comes back. And we know that he will, because other things that he's promised have been fulfilled. But the verse before 10:25, 10:24, Joshy, do you have my PowerPoint? You can go ahead and launch that. Now, one of the great things about what Joshy's been able to do with the live stream, as I understand it, is I've built a PowerPoint, and we can all see it right here in the room on the many screens that we have. But in addition to that, those that are watching at home can actually see my PowerPoint as we click through the slides. So praise God for that as well. So today we're talking about Hebrews 10:24, and then if we talked about 25 last week and 24 this week, guess what we're talking about next week? 23! It's like a countdown! Amazing. Alright, so verse 24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." And in some of your brains, all of a sudden, it just clicked why we were doing the illustration that we just did this morning. But first of all, before we talk about this idea of stirring up, I want to talk about the idea of letting us consider. In the Greek, it's all one phrase. It's a word called kateneo. Kateneo. It's a strengthened form of the word that means to perceive. So, in other words, this phrase that's used in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, means to think deeply about something. So when the author here says, let's consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, he's saying, let's think deeply about how we as believers might be able to encourage one another as we see the day of the Lord drawing closer and closer and closer. That means that we as believers need to have a relationship with one another. We need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that comes first and foremost. And anyone who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ has that ability to have a relationship with him. But just like any other relationship, it's give and take. We have to desire that relationship, and he desires so deeply to have it with us. But then beyond that, it goes into encouraging one another. And we need to be building relationships with one another that aren't just friendly, hey, I know this person, I see them at church, or something like that. But it's the idea of figuring out ways to compel other people to go deeper into the relationship with Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to ask from you that are here this morning is, I'm going to ask in just a moment for you to shout out some ways that you might be able to compel other people to draw closer to Jesus, okay? And because we're not handing out microphones this morning, once you say something, I'm just going to repeat it into my microphone so that everybody at home can hear it, okay? What is a way that you might be able to compel someone to draw closer to Jesus Christ? Talk about your own experiences. Absolutely. Give your testimony. Pray for them. Definitely. Love them unconditionally. Amen. Acts of service towards them. Great. What about from this side of the room? Let them know how appreciated they are. Amen. Spend time with them. Definitely. Definitely. Anybody at this table? Lead a Bible study or community group? Absolutely. Absolutely. So this same phrase that shows up in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it also shows up in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 24, when Jesus says, consider the ravens. And you remember the context of that passage? He's telling people not to worry about tomorrow. He's telling them to trust God, that God has everything under control, that God is going to provide everything that they need. And he says, consider the ravens. He's not just saying to them, just passively think, what is a raven? Well, okay, it's a bird. Well, great. Well, what does a raven do? Does a raven build a barn? Well, no. A raven doesn't build a barn to store its food. What happens? God provides for it. So Jesus is telling the people in Luke chapter 12, think deeply about the raven for just a moment. Think deeply about it. Think about how God takes care of it. And won't he in that same way take care of you? So in Hebrews 10:24, what the author's saying here is, let's take a few minutes and just think deeply about how we might stir other people up to love and good deeds. And it's not something that we should do just during those few minutes that I had you shout things out. It's when you're at home. Think about other people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How might you be able to draw them into a deeper relationship with God? That's what the author here is telling us to do. And then he says, stir one another up. So, Joshy, I lost control of the clicker here. All right, there we go. Stir one another up. This phrase is used in another passage. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 39. Now, Paul and Barnabas had been spreading the gospel everywhere, and they just came back to Jerusalem for what's called the Jerusalem Council. And the idea at the Jerusalem Council was the Jewish believers were trying to figure out what the Gentile believers needed to do out of the law and what they could forsake from the law. And the statement that comes out of this Jerusalem Council is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. That's the statement that's made. We should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. In other words, they didn't expect all the Gentiles to fulfill the Mosaic law and such like that. They gave them a few recommendations and then they moved on. Well, right after that, Paul and Barnabas were going to go back out on their next missionary journey. And Barnabas really wanted to bring the disciple Mark with him. Well, what the text doesn't tell you directly is that Mark was the nephew of Barnabas. So, of course, he wanted to bring him on the journey. But the problem was that Mark had previously deserted them. He had abandoned them on another journey. And so Paul didn't trust Mark. He didn't trust that he was going to stay with them and continue the task at hand. And a sharp disagreement, it says in Acts 15:39, a sharp contention came up between them. This is the same Greek word that's used in Hebrews 10:24. Now think about this for just a second, okay? The illustration that Liberty and I were using was the idea of stirring up this cookie mix, right? Well, the book of Acts describes this as a sharp contention between Paul and Barnabas. And the author of Hebrews says to do that to one another. What? What about unity? Don't we want to be united around a cause? He literally uses the same word that describes a sharp contention between Paul and Barnabas to say that we as believers ought to stir one another up. So now let me go back to our illustration for just a moment. And do we have some cookies that are ready? Sort of. I don't know what that means. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Oh, man. Mine looks delicious. That's mine right there, right? Oh. Why don't you walk that around and show everybody what it looks like? And then show it to the camera for just a moment, too. So, what Liberty did with her bowl was she had all of the ingredients in her bowl and she stirred it up. She put some tension into it, some effort into it. But in order to do that, what did she have to do? She had to break the egg. She had to mix all of those ingredients together. They were all separated things, right? She had to mix them all up together in order to get her lovely concoction that she has here. Whereas what I did was more like what we typically tend to do in the church. What we tend to do in the church is we see something wrong in somebody's life, but we don't want to make them mad. We don't want to actually dig into their lives, and we certainly don't want to stir anything up because we're worried about several different things. We're worried about offending them. We're worried about lack of unity. We're worried about hurting other people's feelings, and we're worried about what they're going to think about us. So we don't get in there, we don't stir it up, we just kind of tap along the edges. And even pastors, even me sometimes, I don't want to get in there and I don't really want to say anything that's going to offend you, so I just kind of tap around the edges here. And you know what the apostles said? They said that you've been given everything that you need. You've been given everything that you need to do the works of God that God wants you to do. But you know what you need? You need them stirred up. You need them stirred up. Because if you don't, is this hot, Liberty? Am I going to burn myself? That's not hot. You get them stirred up, and then you come up with this wonderful, gooey, delicious cookie. And who wants to try mine? Fridge, you tried mine? Was it good? But we don't want that sharp contention. We just want everything to go smoothly. And you know what happens when we're not willing to do the hard stuff? It causes people to not grow. And it causes them to be offended easily. This, on the other hand, causes people to grow. Causes people to be stronger in their faith than they were before. So the rest of the verse goes on and it talks about two topics that I think we know pretty well. The idea of love and the idea of good works. Now I'm going to skip over to good works first, because how many times have we talked about in church, there is no way that you can be saved by your good works. And that is a gospel truth. You cannot be saved by your good works. However, once you are saved, God expects you to do good works. God expects you to do good works. In fact, the phrase here is kalos ergon. You remember several years ago? I mean, most of the people at this table aren't going to remember several years ago, but several years ago, everything was ergonomic, right? You had to have your ergonomic desk and your ergonomic chair and your ergonomic shovel and all of those things, right? That word ergon is the same base word of ergonomics is the same word that's used here. It's the word for works or acts. And the idea was that you were going to make work more safely if the tools that you were using were ergonomic. The other word that's used here is kalos. That word literally means better. In English, in almost every English translation, it's translated as good. But in Greek, it literally means better. And it comes up again in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 16, where Jesus says, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And he's literally saying, let them see the works that you do that are better than others so that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. We sing that song a lot. They'll know we are Christians by their love, right? But what Jesus is saying here is they'll know you're Christians by your works too. Your works don't justify you before God, but they sure let other people know that you're a Christian. So all of us ought to have good works. In fact, all of us ought to have better works than the works we had before. Which means that we don't just get set in a rut. We need to look at what we're doing for God and say, you know what, as long as I'm still breathing, He's still got something for me to do. And what He's got for me to do today is better in His eyes than the ones I've already accomplished. I might not be able to physically do the things that I used to be able to do, but in God's eyes, the work that I'm able to do is even better than anything I've done before. These are the type of good works that God wants. And then that idea of love, we've talked about this so many times. You've probably heard this over and over and over. It's love for God and love for one another. And it's literally love in action. It's not just some gushy feeling that we have. It's more than that. It's like a gushy feeling with feet on it that go out and do things for other people, maybe at the sacrifice of what you want. Maybe at the sacrifice of what you think you deserve. Jesus warns in Matthew chapter 24 that as we get closer and closer to the end times, lawlessness is going to increase. And as lawlessness increases, the love of many towards God and towards other people is going to grow cold. Anybody think that maybe we're witnessing some of that right now? I mean, how long do you have to turn on the news for before you see lawlessness? And how long do you have to watch that before you just feel absolutely sick to your stomach and you're like, why did I even turn this on in the first place? No, Jesus doesn't want us to have a love that grows cold. He wants us to have a love that is vibrant, a love that is alive, a love that is in action. And not only does He want me to have that, He wants me to then stir it up in you as well. And He wants you to stir it up in me. So when we think of this idea of stirring up one another to love and good works. You know what it means? It means we are called to knock each other out of our complacency and to get each other back moving for the Lord. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to regather, because that makes it a little bit easier for us to compel one another towards love and good deeds. But you know what it also means? It also means that when we see sin in someone else's life and we've built a relationship with them, we don't just stand back and let them wallow in their sin. If we love people like the way that God describes love, then we ought to stir up that love in other people. So, I know that other believers have all of the ingredients that they need, right? They've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. They've got all of the spiritual gifts that God has given them. They've got everything they need to complete every task that God wants them to do. But sometimes sin keeps us from doing anything. Sometimes sin keeps us from, if you will, fulfilling our potential. And as those who are called to stir one another up, I think it's built inside of us that we need to be willing to lovingly call people aside and say, this is what I see in your life. This is what's hindering you. This is the road that you're headed on. And because I love you, I'm willing to call it out. It's not because we hate anybody. It's not because anybody is, you know, better than anybody else. It's not because anybody's life is worth more than anyone else. It's because God has said, I take pleasure in the death of no one. And then he follows it up with, therefore, be zealous and repent, or turn and repent. Because the wages of sin is death, and that doesn't just mean eternal death. It means that if you continue living in sin, you're headed for death, physical death. And sometimes, you know what? You're going to say to somebody, I see this in your life, and they're not going to be willing to accept it. They're not going to like it. They're going to be offended by it. You might wound a relationship for a time. But how many of us have seen something in somebody's life that we knew they were headed down the wrong path, and we did say something to them, and they got mad at us, and later they came back and said, you know what? You were right. I don't know how many times I've had that happen. They didn't like how I said something, the way that I said something, or maybe just the fact that I said something. But later on they said, you were right. And you saved me from making some really grave mistakes. I wonder how many of us are willing to take this command written in the book of Hebrews seriously, and stir one another up so that we can all produce more love and more good deeds, so that when other people look at us, they see our good works and glorify our Father that's in heaven. Because that's the bottom line, right? We want everything that we say and everything that we do to bring glory to God. The easy stuff and the hard stuff. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for your word. It's not always easy to hear, but it's always true. Lord, I thank you that you've put everything that we need to live a life of godliness inside of us, including your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that we might be willing to stir one another up for love and good deeds. And not just consider it while we're here today or while we're watching this video online, but to realize, Lord, that that is part of encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. We're getting close to Jesus returning. We don't know when it's going to be, but we know that it's going to be. So, Lord, help us to be willing to stir one another up to love and good deeds for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.